you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Yeah, with Meek and my partner, we laughed so hard. I mean, I think I peed myself this morning with laughter. Just a little bit. I'm getting old. But, you know, just a little bit came out, and I'm like, you know, we're laughing, believe it or not, over ceramic tiles. I mean, it was all to do with what do you want for Christmas? And, you know, do we have an anniversary because it's 12 years? And she doesn't want diamonds. She doesn't want cars. She just wants ceramic tiles. I'm like, this is brilliant, because I couldn't wish for anything better.
Hello, I'm Minnie Driver. Welcome to Mini Questions Season 2. I've always loved Proust's questionnaire. It was originally a 19th century parlor game where players would ask each other 35 questions aimed at revealing the other player's true nature. It's just the scientific method, really. In asking different people the same set of questions, you can make observations about which truths appear to be universal. I love this discipline. And it made me wonder, what if these questions were just the jumping off point? What greater depths would be revealed if I asked these questions as conversation starters with thought leaders and trailblazers across all these different disciplines? So I adapted Proust's questionnaire, and I wrote my own 7 questions that I personally think are pertinent to a person's story. They are, when and where were you happiest? What is the quality you like least about yourself? What relationship, real or fictionalized, defines love for you? What question would you most like answered? What person, place, or experience has shaped you the most? What would be your last meal? And can you tell me something in your life that's grown out of a personal disaster? And I've gathered a group of really remarkable people, ones that I am honored and humbled to have had the chance to engage with. You may not hear their answers to all 7 of these questions. We've whittled it down to which questions felt closest to their experience or the most surprising or created the most fertile ground to connect. My guest today on Mini Questions is the artist Goldie. To me, Goldie was the face and sound of drum and bass and jungle in the UK in the early 90s. He captured this electric vibe and blasted it from the Midlands in England to London and on to New York. He started out as a street artist, and art is where he has returned to now. You're such a considered bloke. If you can, tell me, where and when were you happiest?
If you're talking past tense, the happiest times have always been making music or painting. It's not past tense, it's really now in the present, really. I have a fascination with time. There is none. Every day I wake up and think I'm here and I'm very, very lucky. And I walk up to the mountain, I hike up, and this is like a 10K hike going up and down. And I do that like 3-4 times a week.
Are you in Thailand?
I am in the land of smiles, indeed, yes. You know, for me, being up in the jungle and into the lake, and a lot of the times I do a lot of it on my own, but just being in that environment and seeing life and death in front of you, right in front of you, is a really beautiful reminder of how insignificant we are. And I go up there and scream and cry and laugh. And I find that being the happiest. There's an urgency as well. There's always been that thing where I feel like, even though I came here to retire, I actually did the reverse and found myself in a whole other way. And finding what happiness really means, because having all of the cars and Ferraris and all of this stuff, it just never made me happy. It really didn't. And I felt that I was very destructive, and I felt that all the things that you think are going to make you happy actually don't. And hell's the wealth. And it's weird how that's changed. I know so little now, and that makes me more at peace with myself.
And when you said that time doesn't exist, do you mean that it really is just a human mental construct that we've created to sort of give life meaning? Or what do you mean by that?
You know, when you study or you look at deja vus or the sense of being somewhere, it happens to me a lot. Places, and whether it's in the jungle or just a moment. I do think that we, you know, this mental construct, but I also feel that it's all also preordained. I feel that whatever souls have passed through, this is the one that I remember. And this is the one that has to count. And it doesn't mean I've got to go out and hug trees all day long. You know, I can effing blind like most people when he stubs his toe.
Oh, I mean, I sometimes hug trees while swearing. So, I mean, I don't feel like they're mutually exclusive.
I just think that the idea that there is no time, I'm a fascination with it, is that it's all happening at the same moment.
Everything is concurrent.
Yeah, everything's concurrent. The most poignant thing for me is the power of manifestation. We're just this electric energy, and we have this electric that can actually light a light bulb. It's just this shifting energy, thinking, well, okay, then if I can create this positive energy, then there will be something, because it's the energy is just moving into some other place. Whether it's conscious or not is different. And there lies the question, do I want to be part of the big one, the big singular?
Well, do you have a choice? Like, do you have a choice?
No, I want to be individual.
You don't. We want to be an individual.
But that's the ego. That's just the ego.
Yeah, but I sometimes think maybe bits of my body think that they have autonomy. My lungs are just like, yeah. I don't belong to anyone. I'm just cruising. I just got me alveoli, cooking. Everything's cool. I'm just bringing in the oxygen. You know what I mean? Like, we attach all these mental ideas about belonging. Like Addison, my boyfriend, who is a mutual friend of, well, he's a mutual friend of Goldie and me. He's my love. He is always talking about tribes and how this sense of belonging is so fundamental to our human experience, that we find our tribes in tiny pockets, in large pockets, and that it is the sort of atavistic pastime that humans will always come back to. So we say we want to be individual, which maybe we do. We are born alone, we die alone. And yet in the in-between, we always want to be part of something.
Well, I think the tribalism is especially concurrent with the idea of culture. Tribalism moving into the metropolis of New York and rising from the ashes. You know, that culture is amazing. When you think of what on the shoulders of giants with New York and coming out of the depravity of New York.
What, you personally?
All of my friends, the guys that I chased, the people that I chased that dream and went to New York and found the Bronx on fire, thinking, this isn't the American dream. And is this different than what it said on the tin and what it was going to be? And it was important to my growing because, it was straight into a tribe that where I could belong, a crew. But I felt, you know, the whole idea of tribalism in New York with the crews, you know, actually did positive stuff when it kind of changed from the negative gangs into positive dancers and painters, and hip hop culture came along and it changed everything. And even that became gentrified in lots of other ways, like everything does. But without going too far off piste, I think the idea of being happy and finding one's place, it really is about letting go.
Exactly.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry. and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Can you tell me something that has grown out of a personal disaster?
I would never have met my wife unless I severed my left femur, water ski jumping on a reality TV show. It was the last session of the day. I'd nailed it all day, 3 jumps. Last one, showing off, took off, landed in the water, the wake took it, turned the leg, snapped the femur, and it was like, this was the end of me. This was like your legs flowing in the water that way. You're thinking, this is the end of it. And I was in hospital for like 4 months, and the guy next to me had his leg amputated. They were going to cut it off. When you've gone through everything, and you've gone through divorce, and you've gone through, you know, the ego and the drugs and the rock and roll, and you have nothing. I kind of met when my leg was broken. I was in pieces. I was never going to walk again properly. I was done. I was at the bottom of it all. And I think it was great meeting then, because I healed in a really good way.
That's amazing.
I went to Shanghai on a pair of crutches, you know, just before I started doing this whole yoga thing.
Wait, why did you go to Shanghai?
I went to DJ in Shanghai, a place called Bon Bon, and it was a gig that was cancelled and it got re-slotted, and I went there and I still had crutches and I was limping into this dinner at the New Heights in Hong Kong. I was sitting at dinner and my friend was on the phone and he said, look, I'm not going to make it for the dinner. And we've got like 20 people at this dinner table coming to host me. I'm like, what do you mean you're not coming? And all of a sudden, I saw this woman walk in. I went, hang on, Dave, hang on. And she was standing there, and all of a sudden he pops his head around the corner. He was with her. And that was it. And we never looked back. We even went to Beijing, and I wrote on the wall, and never forget it, in the back of a changing room after I've done a gig, I wrote Sakuko on the wall in graffiti letters. And I went, that's going to be the name of our daughter. Yeah, we actually dated. I'd seen her in Shanghai and then went on this little tour, stayed in Japan. It was the strangest thing. I've got to say this because it's really important. We were staying in Japan. I'd arranged when I first met her in Hong Kong to let's meet up somewhere, let's meet up in Japan. And we had this big suite. And we sat and watched a wonderful film called Ashes to Snow by James Coburn. He's a prolific photographer, filmmaker. And we sat holding hands on this bed and we cried and never made out. And we spent a year writing letters before we even got together. A whole year. And those letters turned into
Lovebox 1, Lovebox 2, and Lovebox 3, which we have in this house. For my daughter, when she grows up, she will have all of these letters. There are hundreds of them. I mean, like, I was in England and I was writing a letter a day at one point. It was insane. After all of the disasters I'd had, this wonderful love came, these wonderful love letters. But I've constantly had a real support of my wife and friends to be able to have this time to write stuff and really explore these different things. You know, unlike a lot of my friends, they can read really well and I can't. But I can write, but I can't read that well. But I love the idea of legacy and I love the idea of my different children understanding different things. And I write them letters sometimes so that when I do pass on, that they can read them and they can understand it from the horse's mouth.
That's amazing.
Yeah. What are we going to really leave? That's important for me.
Is it? Legacy is important to you.
Legacy is important so that, you know, the kids have paintings and they have books and writings and they have my words. And not the idea where, you know, I saw the art world and lots of people that died penniless and also some critic decides that they think they understand what the painting means. And the artist is long gone. But in the digital age and where we are now, everything's kind of recorded. We have the ability to pick up a phone and record our thoughts and feelings. And, you know, some people write books and do different things. There's not a day that goes by I don't think of death in a good way of what, you know, it's death's coming and it's there. And what do I want to leave behind? A phone with some pictures and memes?
My legacy is my phone with 24,000 photographs and 19,000 videos. What question would you most like answered?
Oh, I saw that earlier on and I thought, this is going to be very tricky. I think for me, the government that are in power, why are they determined to kill the arts? If you could honestly answer it, because there seems to be an agenda with it. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. Everything the human race has ever experienced, we've come out of it through art and music.
So why do they in schools make it like art and music are some kind of dessert that you don't need and that it's this extracurricular concept?
Yeah, within the school frame, yeah. But it's more to do with funding and why won't you invest in your child? Were you not children before? These grown-ups, what was their playlists? What was their album collections? What art did they like when they were young? It just seems like all of that generation of government, I just don't understand their agenda with it. And that question I'd like to be answered. Why don't you fund the arts in the way that it should be?
That's such a great... I want to know that too.
I feel fascinated with that because I find that it's really weird because there was a big debate about the MBE and it was this whole thing about, you know, they gave me this Blue Peter badge and said, yeah, great. And
we got to explain to America what an MBE is.
Oh, an MBE is a member of the British Empire.
The Queen gives you this medal. It's for services to music and art.
I always felt like, great, fantastic. My mom would have loved it and it's great. Thank you. It sits on the shelf upstairs. It's a thing and it's great. Thank you very much. But the thing what gets me is that there were closing clubs at the time. Fabric was the club that got closed down. And there was this big debate about people giving us these accolades, but yet they take away the school that my son went to and he could not go to school on the estate that he lived. And then he ended up doing 25 years in prison, along with a lot of other kids, because they had no community, because the heart was torn out of it. And I'm thinking to myself that part of the reason for living in another place was it felt really odd that can't you see the wood for the trees, that we're not investing in the youth in the way that we should be doing. And that really saddens me a lot. It does. It saddens me a lot. And I like watching her grow. Coco Sakuko is an amazing creature. And I have Chance, who's 23, and I'm going to be a grandfather in February, which I'm really looking forward to. I'm like, I'm granddad at last. I speak to my son a lot, who's at His Majesty's Hotel for another 15 years.
He has 15 more years to go. There was a 25-year sentence that he received.
And he did that. He's doing the whole thing. It was the beginning of the downfall of the estates.
An estate in England is a project. It is, you know, government-funded housing, which rarely has community that hasn't been created by the community itself. It's like the governments don't really seem to support the building in places for people to hang out and be part of their own community within these huge housing environments.
I'd felt I'd learnt a lot from New York and the Bronx and being in Garrison Avenue and all those boys in the Tats crew, which I'm affiliated with. And I was there at 18 and I saw it really young of how that place was like, wow, it was still leveled in areas and it was just like they hadn't even rebuilt the Bronx, and seeing how the community aspect had fell apart there, but how they got together themselves to do a lot of stuff locally.
Exactly. It was the same in Harlem. It was the same, you know, of people coming back together and building their communities themselves, not ever relying on the government or, in England, the councils.
And I think that's where we're going. That's where we're heading. Well, that's where England's heading in that respect, because we have to look after our own and have that community aspect.
Do you find that the things that you're teaching your children now are very much because of things that weren't taught to you when you were younger?
Very interesting. Yes, I found with a lot of early therapy that I was doing, and especially like the work of Gabor Maté in trauma, is very amazing. It's to deal with trauma in my experience of being separated and growing and moving on and breakdowns and everything else. And seeing, again, in a third party, seeing like a padlock upstairs from Cambodia with a key that's set on the shelf with beautiful pieces of sculpture and things that I never saw in a home when I was a kid. Knowing that she's growing up in this space and she's seeing these things, and I'm seeing it through her eyes almost. And I'm setting it up so I'm seeing it through her eyes. And I think that's what, for me, what the Hoffman process was about. The Hoffman's a very beautiful process for me because it kind of taught me to get back to being that child, and instead of suffocating my own inner child, understanding what that's like. You can't just say, well, it was different when we were growing up. For her, her world's, that's her world, and she doesn't know any different. So learning her all the right tools and giving her the right stuff. And when she gets emotional and seeing her grow, all of these wonderful things. And with some of my first kids, I'd never experienced that. And having conversations with my older kids about me not being there and having an adult conversation, you know, my son did the Hoffman, which was amazing. And he's a lovely boy, Danny. And seeing what he went through. And it's really beautiful to kind of pay it back in a lot of ways.
So Hoffman is a kind of, is it a cognitive behavioral therapy situation?
The Hoffman process is, it's like a quad of, you know, it's the West and the East, where West meets East. And it's to deal with going back into your timeline and looking at where the trauma comes from. Mm-hmm. And my issues were abandonment and being misunderstood. I chose drum and bass music and graffiti. You know, you repeat these things that you gravitate towards. The work with Serena Gordon and those guys over at the Hoffman has been amazing because, you know, everyone goes to therapy and unpacks the box, but no one wants to know how the box was designed. How was the box manufactured that fits the stuff inside it? And I love that aspect of it, because when you start to unpack it and you realize that we are like our mothers and fathers, whether we like it or not, and you start, you know, we fight to get away from that, but yet, we're very much the same. And what changes is our characteristics of what we decide to put it into our lives from an energetic point of view. So I found that was a really good process. I found it was a beautiful process. And I think it's the same thing with the record label. You know, my label's 25, 26 years old. We're kind of like the Motown of D&B with this integral music. You know, I've got kids at the age of 20, 23, making exceptional albums, continuing to do so. And I love that because it's something that I've always served, because you have to create this platform. And, you know, these kids that follow me and they do this stuff and they're making some amazing music. And I find that probably the most rewarding of all, because, you know, there's a kid called Spencer. He was 22 at the time and he just done his first remix for me. And he was playing after me in Egg in King's Cross. And he came on after me after playing it out and I murdered it. And he came on and he absolutely just destroyed the club in a good way. And seeing this kid taking the reins, and these kids like, who is this guy? And he's this protege. And there are a few of these proteges that have come along with the music. And so many of the artists on the label are phenomenal, you know, FaZe and all these other kids. I could go on with the list of artists that we have. But I found that the most rewarding over the years, because when you're not the guy, you know, you kind of fall away, you do something else. And that something else is providing a platform for others.
All right, so this might go back to your roots, or it may be where you're currently at, but what would be your last meal?
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. It's a bacon and egg sarnie.
A sarnie is a sandwich.
Bacon egg sarnie, right? Listen, it's true. This is, it's a bacon egg sarnie from Dunsley Farm in Tring in Hertfordshire, England.
Wait, back bacon or streaky bacon?
Streaky, man. Smoked streaky.
Okay. Crispy or still a bit floppy?
Just about to turn.
Okay.
With an egg over easy, as you guys say, on some beautiful, beautiful sourdough with poppy seed sesame trimming on the edge. And that's me with a cup of Yorkshire tea. I'm yours. Save me. That's my meal. Yeah, probably the most unhealthy meal I've eaten, but that's my thing.
I lived in Thailand for 12 years. I was just remembering arriving at 2:30 in the morning. I was on my way to Cambodia and I went walking down through the streets of Bangkok and I was so hungry and all there really seemed to be were lovely shiny black insects on skewers at the side of the road having just come off a fire. And I was like, okay, well, when in Bangkok. Delicious though. I mean, I don't eat pork myself, but I do understand a bacon and egg sarnie. That's a mood. That's a proper mood.
Oh, and the other thing is what I found beautiful was 6 minute eggs. You know, boil the water for 6 minutes, the water's boiling, and then put the eggs in for 6 minutes. They're perfect.
Exactly.
And some soldiers.
Boiled egg and soldiers might actually be my last meal.
Really? Wow, look at that. See, I put one out of that there.
Mm-hmm. And a cup of tea.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah. Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What person, place, or experience has most altered your life?
I think Mr. Hurst, my art teacher, I think that he changed my life completely. He sat me in front of a window and said, draw this, you need to get past. I don't know if you know this in the States, but we had a thing called an O level, which is like a...
It's like a pre-SAT. It's like an SAT that you take when you're 16 and then you take another load of exams when you're 18 called A levels. So you were studying for your O levels.
I was studying for an O level in art and I was great at sculpture. My hands, anything you put in my hands, I could do it and I could sculpt. That's the thing I loved. And he said, you can do all of that. It's great. And you know, you're natural, fantastic, but you need to step back. You've got to draw this side of it. You have to draw. And he got me to draw a newspaper and an ashtray and, you know, it's just glass, paper and an iron. And he got me through this exam. And after hours, the children's home I was in at the time said you could stay after school for a couple of hours each night and stay with the art teacher. And he changed my life. And weirdly enough, in him doing that,
I did a documentary, which was really rare, on Red Bull. It was called The Alchemist. And I actually went to surprise him on his 70th, on his birthday, to thank him for what he'd done for me.
Oh.
I kind of went into this little hall in Birmingham in a parish church, and, you know, with an entourage of people and managers and people that was there, and I was on tour somewhere, and I sneaked in and walked in, and it was arranged by his wife, and I sneaked in and sat right next to him, and he looked at me and he didn't even recognize me. He looked back and carried on looking while they were talking, and then he looked and he just burst into tears, and it was a great moment. And I think those kind of moments kind of stay with me.
It's because you grew up in a children's home. And he reached into that experience and saw more in you and asked more of you.
Yeah, well, at the time, I was getting beaten. I was getting bullied at school. I used to have to walk on the canal on the way home because I'd get beat up going on the main road. It was just crazy. I mean, there was a period of 5 years where it was just like, it was hell for me. But the art class was everything. And that was it. And that's why I think I always gravitated towards that, the sense of art. And especially when graffiti came, that was the answer. Not only was it art and a new form of art, there was guys doing it together.
There was tribalism and community.
And it was brilliant. And you could paint trains and stuff and all of this mad stuff and, you know, break the law as well.
And it was illegal.
You know, and it's crazy because I have a wonderful gallery in the heart of Bangkok, and it's called the Aurum Gallery. It's Latin for gold. And I have all of my friends' art from around the world, you know, from New York, from Japan, from Mexico, from LA. And it's a brilliant contemporary gallery. And I think to myself, again, it's one of those moments where I'm going there on Monday. I was there 2 weeks ago. And I walked in there on a Wednesday and the staff were just opening up and there's no one in there. And just walking around this space. And it's beautiful because my daughter can run around in there and she's looking at all this art. And she's drawing away. She loves it. She's just really into it. But just seeing people, that's the one thing you see that I think music's been compromised because you can download it and the quality sometimes is a bit, and you can reproduce it and everything else and people don't want to buy stuff. But you can't stop the idea, a tribal idea of a human being standing in a room with a painting. It just can't be beaten. Whether it's the National Portrait Gallery or it's a contemporary gallery, just being in a space with art is something beautiful, I find.
It's amazing that that's where your initial way out of what you described as being hell through art and all through your life, through the music and the graffiti and the crazy cruise in New York, all the way to Thailand and back to art.
It's a bit mad, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, it seems to subscribe to your idea of it all being foretold.
I think in that way, but I also think internally allowing myself to be happy is something that I couldn't do. I never felt allowed. And I'd spent so much time in chasing complexity because my life's always been very intense. It's unpacking that. And being here in Thailand helps me to do that.
So it helps you to simplify and to be able to just see that the imperfection is beautiful.
An hour ago, I started at like 3 sessions. I started at 1 till 3 in the morning. Then I got up, we did the school run with baby, and I got back, went straight at it. So I was from 9 all the way through. I did like a full shift today. I would not stop. I was just driven with this painting, driven. And not only was I driven by the painting, I'm doing 2 at the same time. And I've done them both before in different ways. It's this style that I'm doing. It's just this complicated layers. And there were 9 layers. And I get to the 8th layer and I rush the layer and I mess the layer up. And I'm like, I just got to keep reminding myself that I just need. So now I've got to spend 3 or 4 hours in the morning because I just didn't let the black dry in time. And I've done it before and I'll do it again. But each time I do it, I'm just at that moment where I'm like, I'm driven by something. For me, it's like music. I find that I'm driven by something far greater than myself. And I don't know what, if it's just the spirit going mad or I just get driven to do something. And it's not almost like it's finished because I've done this before, but it's finding something else in the painting. And I tried something else and it kind of worked. But of course, most of the things that I do that make these mistakes, they teach me something. So I'm just like, I won't do it with the second painting because it's the next in line. But again, it was one of those things that it was all the way down and I was trying to complete it in a time frame. when there is no time. So I kind of shot myself in the foot. I think that's the thing with people that gravitate to music. And when you do this thing in the 90s and you kind of, you blow up, but all of a sudden you give the responsibility to all these people because you become this ego. Because when I was a kid, all the power was taken away from me. You know, you got to go in that room, you got to go there, and you have to do this. So you didn't have any empowerment. So when you get the money and the cars and all that rock and roll, that sense of, you know, you're giving it away. It's the ego giving it away. And it's really like, hang on a minute, when am I going to take charge of this shit? You know, I know just horrific stories of this guy's just knocked out this guy and that guy's just drove your mate, took your mate's car and he's done that. And everyone's pulling and pushing you. And I just got sick of that. I got sick of all of the pulling and pushing of almost tearing an artist apart. That's what the scary part of sobriety was. The idea that people got away with lots of shit while Goldie was drunk or Goldie was just crazy because they just got away with it. The money, the people. And it's like, it was insane in the 90s for me in that respect. And I just feel, you know, pretty unscathed. I feel like I've got some battle wounds and some scars. But the great thing is the healing process is amazing here. And I feel, you know, maybe 56 getting to 57 is a new 30.
I'll second that. Oh, that's just brilliant. Oh my God, Goldie, it's so, I could literally talk to you for hours. And hearing where you are and what, how you have created your life, it sounds so patronizing going, it's inspiring. It's fucking beautiful that life unfolds and that you allow for the evolution and you haven't judged the evolution and you've taken the hits and you watch your son is still taking a hit in one way, but you're still connected. I love the how in your life and what your life was, you are. I think that's a really beautiful thing. And I don't know what else we're here to do except be in these lives that we've been given, you know, and live it all.
Thank you so much.
Goldie, he runs about as deep and considered as anyone I've ever met in my life, actually. And talking to him was an absolute joy. Goldie has a new single out with his band Subjective called Lost.
Mini Questions is hosted and written by me, Mini Driver. Supervising producer, Aaron Kaufman. Producer, Morgan Lavoie. Research assistant, Marissa Brown. Original music, Sorry Baby, by Mini Driver. Additional music by Aaron Kaufman. Executive produced by me, Mini Driver. Special thanks to Jim Nicolay, Will Pearson, Addison O'Day, Lisa Castella and Anique Oppenheim at WKPR, De La Pescador, Kate Driver and Jason Weinberg, and for constantly solicited tech support, Henry Driver.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring? But don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.